Morning.
Man, I thank God for an opportunity to share what he's been speaking to me. I'm excited this morning. Sometimes when God shares things with me, it's a lot all at one time and I have to break it down. And I hope God allows me to share it in a way that makes sense this morning. Because, man, when he starts speaking, it is absolutely amazing. And I thank him for his faithfulness for sure. Let's pray and then we'll jump in. Several scriptures this morning, all going to come out of the book of Esther. Probably start at Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Let's pray and then we'll go. God, we love you. Yahweh, we thank you this morning that laughter is like good medicine to the body. I thank you today that we're more than overcomers in you. I thank you that you died and you resurrected for us, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you never give up on us. I thank you that you're a God that's always there. I thank you that you're a God that is exactly who he says that he is. I thank you that you're good all by yourself. I thank you that you're full of love and grace and truth. I thank you, Lord God, today for a word that helps us, that encourages us. God, if sometimes we get lowly or sometimes we give up hope or if sometimes, God, we feel like everything's against us, I thank you that you will send a word to encourage us, a word that will strengthen us, and a word that will forever bring you the praise and glory that you deserve. So today, God, we yield to you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, and we pray that you will continue to allow us to take your truth, your word, and apply it to each one of our lives, Lord, so that we can be victorious, but more importantly, that we can bring you the light and the glory that you deserve. By faith, we believe these things are done. We give you the praise, glory, and honor. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory. Probably a really, really familiar scripture to everybody. I know my sister absolutely loves when Mordecai, which would be Esther's, uncle, I believe, tells Queen Esther, maybe you are prepared for a time such as this. It's a great scripture to quote. It's a truth, and I absolutely love it. But you have Esther, who's been brought before the king. She's been one of the chosen ladies. The king is trying to replace Queen Vashti, if that's how you pronounce her name, because she disrespected the king. And the king is bringing ladies to him and ultimately trying to find a replacement for the queen. So it happens that Queen Esther finds favor in the sight of the king. But the problem is there's a man named Haman. Haman's came up with this evil plot to kill Mordecai because Mordecai doesn't respect him like he thinks he deserves. Mordecai was a man that just trusted God. He believed in certain things, but he also believed that only God deserves to be bowed to. And it's a lesson that many of us can learn today. There's absolutely nothing wrong with respecting authority. There's absolutely nothing wrong with giving honor to where honor is due. But at the end of the day, the only one that we should bow a knee to, the only one that deserves our hallelujah, the only one that deserves our praise and our worship is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's Jesus Christ himself. I know sometimes that, like even playing around, some kids will do the little bowing thing, or at sporting events, you'll see people do like the little bow and worship when they're, you know, it's a really good athlete. And I don't like it at all. I absolutely hate it because I believe that the one that died for our sins and on the third day rose again is the only one that we should bow to. He's the only one that deserves that kind of honor and that kind of praise. So ultimately, Mordecai sends a word to Esther and says, listen, I need you to go before the king and I need you to go in and talk to him and explain to him that our people are going to be destroyed and I need you to get him to reverse it. The thing that, especially back then, that was such a big deal is that if Esther went before the king, and the king was in a bad mood, the king didn't want to see her, the king didn't, for whatever reason, didn't hold out his golden scepter to her, then the Bible declares that she would have been killed immediately. So Mordecai tells Esther, he says, listen, I need you to do this. This is the reason that God put you in the position that you're in. But it's okay if you don't want to do it, because God will bring deliverance from somewhere else. Mordecai, we talk about Esther so much, but I want to focus a lot on Mordecai today. Mordecai was a man that just completely trusted God. He did the right thing by raising someone that wasn't his own daughter, per se. He raised her in the admonition and fear of the Lord. He taught her that, listen, you can be in any position you want to be in, but God still needs to be the one that we reverence and that we fear by loving and showing him that we appreciate him. So in Esther chapter 4, verse 15, Mordecai told Esther, listen, go in before the king. The Bible says, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according all that Esther commanded. Now I want to skip over to Esther chapter 8, verse 4. So I'm going to give you some more. I know it's a lot of information, but I want to get to what God showed me. Oh, I want to get to what God showed me. Okay, so in between these four chapters, you have Esther. She went in before the king. The Bible says that he held out the golden scepter, and he says, listen, what do you want? And ultimately, Haman's plot to kill the Jews was brought to no end. Haman actually ends up being the one that gets killed. But there's still a problem. The king has still said on a certain day at a certain time that this revolt against the Jews is going to happen, that this possibility of annihilation of the Jews is going to happen. So there's still a problem. Even after the enemy's out of the way, Haman and his sons are dead. You know, it's a great victory for the people of God, but there's still the word of the king. And brothers and sisters, what I want to focus on today is what once was really, really hard for you and I, what once was such a big deal for you and I that it was maybe impossible or almost impossible for us to believe that God could do something there, that God loved us enough, or that God trusted us enough to help somebody or to impact somebody's life. If we'll lean into that, if we'll trust God the first time, then the next time and the next time, it becomes easier and easier to hear the voice of the Lord. You see, a lot of us struggle sometimes if we're out and about at a restaurant and God speaks a word to us to pay for somebody's meal. You may think, Brother Allen, that's crazy. Why would God tell me to pay for somebody else's meal? What if somebody's just down and thinks that the world's against them and just needs a nice action or a nice gesture to help bring them some joy or some peace? What if you're out and about and you see a man that you know for sure shouldn't be on the side of the street begging, but God tells you to go sow a seed of $20, $30, $40, $50, or even a dollar, whatever it may be? What if you desire to hear the voice of the Lord, but you pray to him and say, God, let me hear you. God, speak to me. But you don't feel like you can hear God like everybody else can. You don't feel like God speaks to you as much as what he speaks or how he speaks to everybody else. I want to encourage you today to know that if you will follow God's steps, if you'll follow God in a way that you ask what you desire and you believe what you're desiring, then God is a God that is faithful and just to do exactly what we're asking out of him. We serve a good God that doesn't want us just telling him everything that we want or we need. We serve a God that wants to speak back to us. I believe it's why one of the greatest and hardest things for me to do, maybe a lot of us to do, is to sit before God in prayer and just ask God to speak to us. I know sometimes I do it and give me a good 30 seconds and I'm thinking about what color the grass is today, or did I just hear the mailman, or did UPS just come, or wonder what Alex is in there doing, or all these random thoughts. And the reason for that is because the enemy knows that if we hear the King of Kings speak to us, that it forever changes our lives. Esther in this situation in chapter 4, asks everybody to go on a fast. She says that her and her maids will go on a fast before she goes in before the king. And she says, listen, if I perish, I perish. But in Esther chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says, and the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. I have no idea how many times I've read the book of Esther. And I never realized that Esther, yes, she went in to speak to the king to hopefully save her life and the lives of her people, the Jews. But I didn't realize there was a second time that Esther went in and stood before the king. That she put her life in the balance, but she didn't ask for all the people to pray. She didn't ask for a 3-day fast. She didn't ask Mordecai, make sure that you believe with me. Make sure that you pray. Make sure that you fast. And there's nothing wrong to ask your brothers and your sisters and your leadership in your church to fast and to pray and to believe with you. But what I want to encourage you with today is to know that after you do it maybe one or two times, that God will give you a confidence that you have the right to go before him. Today, brothers and sisters, God has given you the right, given me the right to go in before him, to go to the Holy of Holies. We don't have to kill goats and bulls and chickens and doves and all these things. We can go straight to him by the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think in the church that we get a little used to that, or it's a little mundane to us. We don't realize how special it is to be able to pray to the God of heaven. Queen Esther needed one chance and one opportunity to go speak to the king, and her life was in the balance, and she asked everybody to go on a 3-day fast. But just a couple days later, when she wants to go talk to the king again, she doesn't ask anybody to fast. She doesn't ask anybody to pray. Why? Because she knew that when she looked into the eyes of the king, that there was a relationship there, that there was a desire not only on her part to speak to the king, but for the king to listen to her heart. Brothers and sisters, today it is the most beautiful picture of how God feels for you and me. It is a beautiful picture that God wants you to know that he doesn't just want to listen to you, but he wants to speak to you. How can you know that to be true? Because if you look into the eyes of the one that knew no sin yet became sin, so that you and I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you look into the eyes of the one that has eyes like a fire, he's beautiful and he's wonderful. I believe it's the same eyes that God looked into when the woman was caught into the act of adultery. She looked into his eyes, and Jesus spoke a word to that woman and said, go and sin no more. He didn't give her a 5-step, a 10-step, or a 20-step solution or some kind of process to go through. I believe that when we get into the presence of the holiest God, I believe when we get close to the King of all kings, that I promise you it will forever change our lives. Queen Esther goes back into the king and says, listen, I'm not done asking. You can look at that as arrogance. You can look at that as greed. Or you can look at that as Queen Esther knew who she was in the eyes of the king. Have you ever seen a kid that gets a toy and then 10 minutes later asks for another toy? I know sometimes people at the pharmacy bring their kids or their grandchildren in, whatever. And I'll give them a little toy or whatever and give them 25 seconds and boy, they want another one. Or they want a bigger one, or they want a different one. And it doesn't offend me at all. It actually makes me laugh most of the time, because it's God reminding me that we should be like little children. These little kids have absolutely no shame in their game. They're not scared to ask for something else. They're not scared that just because they received one gift that they shouldn't ask for another gift. And I understand when the parents get on to them, I would do the same and instruct my children. Absolutely. But what if you and I serve a God that has exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could possibly ask, think, or imagine? What if the Bible tells us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? What if the Bible tells us that the one that set the stars and the moon and the sun in motion is the same God that wants to speak to us and hear from us? What if we could be like Queen Esther and maybe ask for help the first time and maybe even the second or third time. But what if we had the boldness to go before the king all by ourselves when nobody else knew about it? Queen Esther's life hung in the balance the first time she went into the king, and it hung in the balance the second time she went into the king. But the second time it didn't mean as much because she was confident of this very thing, that he loved her. What if you and I prayed to God like we knew he was fascinated with us? What if we knew that God loved us? What if we knew that yes, we disappointed him, and yes, we messed up, and yes, we let him down, but he had the power to forgive our sins as far as the east is from the west? What if we believed the scripture that God said that Jesus's blood made us white as snow? What if we believed the scripture that said that God absolutely loves you and I? Queen Esther went back before the king, kneeled down, and waited for the judgment. She kneeled before the king, and she waited for either him to reach out the golden scepter or for him to pronounce death or imprisonment or whatever the punishment may be. And in closing today, brothers and sisters, that's all God's asking out of us. When you mess up, when I mess up, when I sin, when I disappoint, when I forget, when I don't do exactly what, when I'm lazy, when I'm whatever I am, when I mess up, God's not asking for us to hurt ourselves or talk bad about ourselves or to live in remorse or to live in sadness, you know, for X amount of days, because that should be our punishment. He's simply telling you and me to go before him like Queen Esther did and bow before him and let him announce the judgment. And I thank God today that every time, man, when he showed it to me, it was beautiful, that every time I go back before the king, not when I've preached a good message, or not when I've showed an act of kindness, or not when I've been generous. No, no, no. It's when I go back before the king and I messed up and I let him down and I didn't do what he told me to do, or I forgot, or whatever it may be. And no matter how bad or how insignificant I thought it was, I still know that I messed up. But every single time, hallelujah today, every time I go back before the king and I bow before him, today the good news is every single time, like the king reached out his golden scepter to Queen Esther, God reaches out his grace and his forgiveness and his love and his compassion to me. And he says, get up and fight another day. Get up. I died for that. Get up. And today I believe God wants you to know, God wants me to know, that he's telling us to get up. I died for that. Get up. I love you in spite of that. Get up. I've redeemed you from that. Get up. You don't have to live in that adversity. Get up. I died for you, says the Lord God. This is a good word today. It's a word that says, just get back before me. You see, Queen Esther knew that she had to get back before the king, and she knew the only thing that was going to save her was her relationship with the king. Today, brothers and sisters, the only thing that saves you and me is our relationship with Jesus. It's a beautiful picture of redemption and salvation and what happens when we will step out in faith and bow before the king. The Bible says that Queen Esther bowed before the king. He reaches out his golden scepter and he lifts her up. And she speaks to the king and says her needs and her desires and her wants. And ultimately, long story short, the Jews win. God people will always win. You want to bet on something, bet on God's people, because he'll be there with them. You want to bet on something, God will never disappoint you and I. He doesn't have the ability to fall short. He doesn't, it's just not who he is. He can't mess up. So God rescues his people. It's an amazing story of faith and compassion and love. And ultimately, the Bible says that Mordecai has got on the king's signet ring, and he writes these letters and has these letters written, what, you know, gives instruction to God's people. And one of the last verses in the book of Esther, it says that Mordecai has become a great and prominent man. that the fame of Mordecai spread throughout the whole world. How did Mordecai go from someone just walking in the courtyard, checking on his niece, to having the king's signet ring? How did Esther just go from a beautiful woman to ultimately becoming the queen of a nation? Because they believe and trusted in God. Because they were willing to put their faith into action. James said, listen, show me your faith without your deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. In other words, saying actions speak louder than words. Today, God is challenging us. God wants us to know that we got to go back to Him. Don't allow any amount of shame or being fearful or anything that the people try to break you down or beat you down with. He wants us to make sure we come back to Him. In spite of everything, you and I are to go back to the King and wait for His judgment. Wait for Him to decree something over you. Because today, brothers and sisters, God has decreed greatness over us. He's called us the head and not the tail. He's called us the lender and not the borrower. He's called us forgiven. He's called us love. He's called us strong. He's called us forgiven. These are all things that God has spoken to you and me, but it only means so much if you hear it from me. What if you go before Him and hear Him, Coach Pardee, call you great? Brother Kevin, what happens today if you mess up and you go right back before the King and God calls you loved and forgiven? Alex, what happens if you mess up again and again and you feel a whole lot of condemnation and you go right before God and instead of beating you down, God lifts you up and says, daughter, I died for you. What does that do to us? It causes us to realize how fascinated He is with us, how in love He is with us, and it will forever change our lives. Esther and Mordecai believed God and a nation was saved. What happens if you believe? What happens if I believe? I believe a nation will be saved. I believe people are waiting on us to show them what it's like to mess up and go right before the King and have forgiveness announced and proclaimed over us. It's the most beautiful love story I've ever seen. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that you and I should not perish, but that you and I could believe in Him, believe that He rose on the third day, and forever reign with Him in glory. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank You today. I thank You, God, that it's okay when we need people around us to pray. It's okay when we ask people to fast. But I thank You, God, that we can hear Your voice. That You can call us loved and it will forever change us. You can call us forgiven and it encourages us. God, I thank You today that You want Your people to know how much You love them and how fascinated You are with them and how You desire to not only hear from them, but speak to them. God, I pray for spiritual ears that we will be open today, Lord, that we can hear Your voice. We can hear Your love. We can hear Your forgiveness and grace and mercy in every situation. God, I do pray for a boldness for us to be like Queen Esther the second time, God. The second time when she went into the King and her life was in the balance, but she knew that He loved her. She knew that there was a relationship there. She had confidence in that. God, give us that kind of spiritual confidence. Give us a confidence to know that You desire to help us and to instruct us and to keep us. Today, God, I pray that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that You raise up that standard. God, I pray that when the enemy tries to convict us and to make us feel like we're nothing, I pray that You will allow Your love to embrace us and to overcome us. God, I pray today in the name of Jesus for angels to be released over us, to angels to be released around us, Lord. I pray for healing and strength and comfort and confidence in Your word. I pray for confidence in our relationship with You, Yahweh. I thank You, God, today that You are exactly who that You say that You are. You are good all by Yourself. You're full of grace and love and truth. God, I pray today that You will speak and that we'll obey and that a nation will be saved and that a nation will be delivered. God, I thank You for the acts of faith that Your people are going to do today and in the days to come, God. I thank You for what's going to happen, that families are going to be changed because of this word that You sent to Your people. By faith, we believe these things, we consider them done, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.